listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, December 3rd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, hello, Michael. Glad to be here as always, and happy full moon. The last full moon of December, of 2025, and it's December already.
I can't believe it. This year has gone by remarkably fast, but I can't tell you how much I've appreciated spending this year with you every Wednesday. Like I say, Vicki, we couldn't do this without you and couldn't do it without all of our live listeners. So we appreciate you joining the chat.
Right.
We appreciate your contributions. But also, as always, want to give a shout out to those that catch up with us from the archives. We always appreciate you taking the time out of your week to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So I'm very excited for tonight's program, but as always, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, happy to be back after our break for Thanksgiving, and so excited to have Dr. Doug Kelly join us again. Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back. This has been a couple of weeks and I was here, but it's good to be back with everybody. And I'll try to keep my eye on the chat somewhat, but if anybody has any questions or anything along the way, just say something in the chat and then Vicki or Michael will let me know. All right. So tonight the topic is basically managing obligations. And I've got a few thoughts that I want to share with everybody. I've talked about this on past graduation ceremonies in years past, but I wanted to talk about it on the radio program tonight, and I'll probably write up something for the weekly student newsletter as well. So obligations, basically an obligation is a commitment of some kind. You know, some obligations are legal, some are moral, some are chosen. And so I want to start off with discussing the 4 types of obligations that there are. The first one is a universal, generally self-evident obligation. It's like trustworthiness, honesty, integrity, and there's some element of spirituality in those as well, but just some universal, generally self-evident obligation, you know, treating people with kindness, that kind of thing. The second type of obligation is a personally chosen obligation. That's an obligation that we have imposed on ourselves. Now, remember, obligation is a commitment that we have committed to something. The third type of obligation is perceived obligations. And those can be obligations imposed on us by others with our permission. They could be religious obligations, family obligations, things like that. relationship type obligations that others impose on us, but we allow them to do that. We may not verbally agree to it, but we end up agreeing to it because we go along with it. And these can be healthy or unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So that's perceived obligations. The fourth type is sacred obligations, and that kind of ties a little bit with the first one, which are universal type obligations, but they're a little more specific, and I'm going to talk about those a little bit more in depth in a moment. Let's talk about categories of obligations. They can be self-obligations, family obligations, social, business, or career obligations, financial obligations, or nature type obligations, taking care of the earth and wildlife and animals and things like that. As I mentioned, the obligations to be healthy or unhealthy. They can also be moral or immoral in nature. It just depends. There's almost a sliding scale of morality in some of these obligations. Some obligations are weightier than others. And again, we'll delve a little bit more into that when we talk about sacred obligations here in a minute. There's a couple of things to watch out for. Endeavoring to obligate another as a form of manipulation. Well, think about that for a minute. We know it as guilt manipulation. You're trying to obligate somebody to some obligation by using guilt or trying to talk them into something, trying to get them to commit to doing something that we want, and we do that through intimidation, persuasiveness, again, guilt or gaslighting. Those are those kinds of things. So we want to not do that. We don't want to try to obligate another person as a form of manipulation. Another way to look at obligations, too, the danger of them is that the more obligations we have, the less control we have over our lives. And the exception to this is when the bulk of our obligations are in place by our own deliberate choice. So, if those are okay. If we make an obligation deliberately, that's our stuff. That's cool. You can do that. And you can also withdraw that or release yourself from those obligations. So that's that. What's this last point? That's it for that. So
that's kind of equal to making a promise, correct?
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. And I'll pause for a moment either one of you have thoughts.
Yeah, I was just thinking how many times when somebody's made a promise, didn't keep it. Hmm. When you make a promise, that's an obligation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're obliged to follow through with that. And I think that's kind of a betrayal when people don't follow through.
Well, it is.
It can be, absolutely.
By definition.
I was just going
to thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, good point.
I was just going to say I'm really glad that you brought up the fact that obligations can be used by, narcissists, toxic people as a means to try and control people. It's how a lot of people will, impose a sense of obligation to try and make you act a certain way out of a sense of codependence or, maybe just a overt, narcissistic control. So I think it's very important to be aware of that and to remember your own healthy boundaries, remember to retain your power. And I think that's, I'm really happy that we touched on that. I think it's really important to keep in mind.
Yeah, and Howard just mentioned, Dr. Kelly, in the chat, it is okay to change your mind. And I know maybe we can talk about that a little more during the conversation as well.
Well, we'll talk about it now.
Okay.
Remember, let's go back and just quickly review the different types of obligations. There's the personally chosen ones. That's number two. Number three was perceived obligations. So, again, the personally chosen ones, we have the right to change our mind and choose a different path. Of course, we would explain to whoever that obligation might affect, what we're doing and why. You don't just stop. It's like you keep your promises, and if you can no longer keep the promise, you kind of need to explain yourself, right? Explain it and let the other person know why and why you have to make a change. That happens. There's nothing either right or wrong with that. It just it can happen. The perceived obligations is another one that we fall under so much that we probably don't even realize. And again, these could be religious obligations, family obligations, things like that, social obligations, even at work. You know, if your job does not require you to do a particular thing, but you're doing it, and you can no longer do it, well, then you would talk with your supervisor or whatever and let them know you're no longer in a position to do that. And that's a good term to use. I'm sorry, I'm just no longer in a position to continue doing this, whatever it happens to be. So, yes, you can change your mind. All right. Let's talk about sacred obligations. Now, ICMH Church has five sacred obligations. I'll list them and then we'll talk about it just a little bit. And within these five, there's lots of nuances and aspects to them, I guess you might say. So the first one is do no harm, do right. That's just a fundamental value in everything we teach and talk about. You know? So do no harm, do right. The second one is to reclaim your power. That's another way to put that is to take your power back. And I've talked about this in the courses too and talked about it on the program, you know, a gazillion times. So reclaim your power. The third one is attune your life leadership paragon. That's just another way of saying balance your life leadership paragon. And of course, if you studied with us, you know that that life leadership paragon consists of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three create self-completeness, the ability to stand on your own two feet and not, quote, need another person or anything else to complete you. So when you take your power back, you bring those traits into balance, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and then you balance in the automatic result is self-completeness. The fourth sacred obligation is to pay it forward. We've talked about that on this program many times. Paying it forward, doing something nice for another person without any expectation of a return, or you ask them to pay it forward to somebody else, to do a nice for somebody else. And then the fifth sacred obligation is to deliver your greatness to the world. So let me delve into these a little bit more. Some of them are, again, self-evident. So let's talk about the self-evident part a little bit. Sacred obligations are the things we do to respect the inalienable rights of ourselves and others. It means upholding ethical values. We do things for the highest good of all concerned. It could also be the ethical defense of inalienable human rights. Another way to look at this is to give something that is owed by virtue of the life force within. So somebody's hurt on the side of the road, there's a sacred obligation to help them in any way we can. You know, whether it's calling the authorities, 911, wherever you're at, 999, wherever you're at in the world, and then helping them to whatever degree we can. So give them something that is owed by virtue of the life force within, or by virtue of their humanity. A sacrosanct duty, which simply means sacred, that is performed because it's owed by the receiver by virtue of his or her humanity. So it's just another way of saying what I've already just said. Looking over my notes here and make sure I don't leave anything else out. Sacred obligations are self-evident, and that's like kindness or helping somebody. They're self-evident. Trustworthiness, integrity, those are self-evident to any reasonable human being. You know, the people who don't think that they're self-evident are the psychopaths, the sociopaths. They don't have that thing. But to be trustworthy, honest, have integrity, have kindness, to help people, to build people up, those are all sacred obligations. They're based on high ethics and integrity. And we just kind of know those. But sometimes we may not. Sometimes it's just a process of learning, especially if children. Children grow, they evolve, they grow up, they begin to learn that there are certain things that are important, you know, like not killing people and not hurting people. So I will give you that, you know, some of these need to be learned, but even children, if you look at young children, they don't have any racial bias. They just play with each other. It doesn't matter what color the pigmentation of their skin. That doesn't matter to these kids, these children, these young children. It's almost like racism is learned. And so we know that racism is not a good thing. You know, there are no races. There's one human race, the human race. That's the way it is. And so to tolerate or to welcome all ethnicities, that's a sacred obligation. That's part of doing the right thing. So sacred obligations can be spiritual in nature. They're obligations of a higher order. They're pretty much required for successful life relationships. And the last part of this, and I'll pause for a moment if you guys want to inject anything, because there's one last point, the ultimate sacred obligation. I'll pause for just a moment. Anything you want to add?
You know, this may be an odd thing, and I'm not saying it to blow my own horn, but we had our first big snowstorm here a couple of nights ago. And I looked out the window, okay, I'm going to have to shovel in the morning, dig my shovel out. And then an hour or so later, still snowing, knock at my door. And I answered, and there's a fellow in a big parka, and all I heard, he was kind of staggering. All I heard was $5. And I said, no, you know. And then I saw the shovel, and I went, wait a minute. This guy is out there. He might be three sheets to the wind. He's one of the street people. But he's willing to go out and work for $5. And I went, hold it. Stop a minute. That would be great. If you'll shovel my driveway, that would be awesome. Now, I had two fives in my wallet, and I gave them both to him. I said, you did a great job. And, of course, he staggers to the next house. But I thought in that moment, there is no reason for me to say no.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's knocking on the door, give me some money, which I think is very rude. But he's willing to put himself out there. He's willing to work. And I feel that it's then my obligation, and I do, because it's a spiritual obligation to
do no harm, do right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it was in that moment I was reminded how, even in these unusual circumstances, what a spiritual obligation is. It's just $5, you know? And, well, the next morning, of course, is warming up. The snow's not going to last long. My snow, whatever is on my driveway, is melting, and everybody else has snow. And I thought, that was a good $5-$10. I'm good. I don't have to shovel. And it's just a matter of a kindness. And I've said this many times on the program before. I see these street people out there collecting bottles, collecting cans, going to the, you know, recycle, cashing them in. That's hard work. It's really hard work. To donate my few, to help them out, I'm all in. You know, because they're working hard. Any number of circumstances can bring anybody to that place in life. And I just think it is, and I'm going to say it again, a spiritual obligation.
Well, that's empathy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's empathy. You know, and that's part of paying it forward too. you know, when we see people who are in need, we can just forget it, move on about our day, or we can put ourselves in their shoes. Yeah. You know, what are they facing? You know, what are, I mean, there are people out there right this minute who don't have anything to eat, whose children don't have anything to eat, and or sleep, or, you know, that kind of a thing. That's just wrong. That's, I mean, that is a moral issue, but that's beyond this for the moment. But the still, when we help people, it's empathetic and it's paying it forward and it's doing no harm, but that's not, see, if you had just sent him away, you wouldn't really be doing any harm per se. You're not hurting him, right? But that's why doing right has to follow that up, because doing no harm is not always enough. Mm-hmm. You need to go a step beyond and do right. And that's a sacred obligation to do this sort of thing. Michael, did you have any comments?
No, you stole my line. I was geared up to talk about how all this boils down to do no harm, do right. But, I mean, obviously it's a bit more complicated than that. And I do think we really – it's an important topic and a complex one, so it's important to explore.
Yeah, it is.
But you really can boil it all down to do no harm and do right. And to touch on empathy, I think, again, I've said it before, that empathy is one of the great benefits of being the human animal, and our ability to find strength and comfort in one another. You know, reality can be a bit rough sometimes. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I think that – you know, when we find that solace with one another, when we find, you know, we find that strength that we lend each other, and, you know, sometimes we give it out, sometimes we help take it in. It's that kind of, I mean, every one of us can be independent, every one of us can be self-sufficient to a degree, but ultimately no person is an island. So I think that, yeah, empathy is not just, you know, a good thing to do for the universe as a sacred obligation. It's also one of the wonderful benefits of being the human animal in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, let's talk about the last main point I wanted to cover is the ultimate sacred obligation, and that is to ourselves. Mm-hmm. The obligations that we have to ourselves. Now, this, again, is there's a lot of points we could talk about that one thing for the rest of the night and then beyond. But basically, you have a sacred obligation to yourself. And this means to be true to yourself, walk your own path, to seek your own perfection, which, of course, you're already perfect. It means to think for yourself. It means to own what is yours. Provide for your own. It means respecting all life, valuing all life. You know, it means to cultivate equality and tolerance toward others, because this is, you know, you have this obligation to yourself to be that kind of person who shows equality and tolerance to others, and not to harbor ill will toward anyone. You know, to uphold the value of human beings. To look for the good in others, to make peace. We're all connected. You know, hating others is a form of self-hate if we're all connected. We're all from the same stuff of stars, right? We all came from the same place. Everything there is came from where it's all stardust. So there's no races. There's just one human race. We're all from the same place, you know. We show respect for ourselves, and we hold that sacred obligation to ourselves by controlling and changing only ourselves and not trying to change or control other people, you know, and then having that self-completeness to be able to stand on our own two feet, to not need anything or anyone else outside of us to make us complete or whole. And when we do that, we are part of the solution. We are part of the stability of this race, this human race, and of this planet, and everything that's in it. So the ultimate obligation is to be who we are, to be our genuine selves, and to be decent human beings. And that are some points. So I hope these points have got you thinking. That's really my ultimate goal, get you thinking. There's a lot more we could do. I've got notes beyond notes and notes and notes, pages of notes that we could go through. But these are the high points. And so if you are you're feeling the stranglehold of obligations that others have placed on you, you've got some decisions to make. You know, you need to explore those obligations to see whether they're real, whether they're meaningful, whether they should be there or not. And if they shouldn't be there, then you can talk to them and just explain you're no longer in a position to meet those obligations and explain why. Do the right thing. You know, help them to fix it if you can. I mean, replace you or whatever, you know, whatever the obligation is. There's a zillion of them. Go ahead.
Don't you think, too, that it's about deprogramming ourselves from things we had been taught in childhood?
Of course.
Or that's a big other one. People? How then, you know, do we acknowledge things in ourselves that just aren't cool? You know? Yeah. I mean, I've had to do that a lot myself in my life. You know, something as silly as nursery rhymes and their subliminal mm-hmm. meanings. They're
sometimes
bad.
Sometimes not subliminal.
But, you know, things that, and I loved my grandmother and my father's mother, but there were some things that she believed in that stuck in my head, and later I had to go, that's not a good one. You know?
Yeah.
And you can still love these people and acknowledge that they come from their own environment, their own time, and they have their own stuff. And I think what we're trying to do is, in many ways, is trying to break these cycles without being judgmental. That's a really important thing, although, you know, sometimes we have to make decisions to not associate with people. You know, when when it can't be negotiated or healed, then you got to make a decision to step away.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much strife and trouble and stress and pain I brought on myself over my early years because of perceived obligations, primarily of a religious nature.
Yep.
Because I thought I had to do all this stuff when none of it was even real. But those were obligations I allowed. And it took deprogramming to get out of a cult and to realize that I didn't need to do that stuff. That was just very unhealthy and destructive. So,
which I might add in here that it's not like you were a young adult and got coerced away. It's you were born into that. And that from the earliest memory was your conditioning, and you don't know any other reality mm-hmm. until you're an adult. You start seeing how other people live, you know? I mean, I thought everybody had a black and white TV until I went to my friend's house and they had the first color TV. I said, well, I never knew that there was such a thing. You know, it is that simple. If you're born into it, you believe that that's reality.
Before you...
I got to answer. Yeah, I see Dr. Kevin's question.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I depart here, I'm going to address a question by Dr. Kevin in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. I'm going to touch on it, and it really opens up a whole other program, really. He says, how do you reconcile sacred obligations with the indifference of the universe? And I've touched on the indifferent universe before, just briefly, but I don't think we've ever done a program on it.
No.
I'm still kind of putting my stuff together on it, and I've talked to Michael about it an awful lot, you know, that, and I don't want to say things because it can easily get construed out of context.
Mm-hmm.
But the indifferent universe simply means that the universe does not care whether you live or die. Whether I live or die, whether the earth exists or doesn't exist, it's indifferent. It has no ability to think, to care. It doesn't matter whether there's a forest fire that, you know, levels all this forest land or anything, an airplane crash, a building burning down, you know, like Hong Kong, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. You know, the universe is indifferent. It doesn't care one way or another. In fact, it's incapable of caring. Here's the thing. consciousness mitigates that indifference. In other words, consciousness makes a difference. The universe doesn't care, consciousness does. And consciousness can mitigate the effects of an indifferent universe. For example, we have laws in place designed to keep buildings safer during an earthquake. Mm-hmm. We have laws to keep buildings from burning. You know, we have laws to keep people safe on the roads. That's consciousness mitigating the universe not caring whether you get into a car wreck or not. So you see how we as human beings, we have that gift, that precious thing of consciousness. We can make a difference. We can change that about the universe. You know, and in my opinion, consciousness is the gasoline that runs the universe. It's the thing that changes anything, and everything can. So I know that's a bit long, but that's that. And maybe in one of these days we'll talk about the indifference more.
Well,
I think it's really about my obligation to myself as an evolving soul, if you will, or evolving consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
You know, you had said earlier that, you know, we have an obligation to deliver our greatness to the world, and I think that is both an obligation to not deny the world any gifts that we have to offer, but just like you said, Dr. Vicky, it's also it's that win-win, right? It's a win for you. Yeah. You're realizing your true self. It's a win for the world. You're bringing these gifts into the world. And I think as I was listening, I heard an interesting juxtaposition between an indifferent universe and the fact that consciousness brings about that caring, that empathy, that consciousness awareness brings about that empathy. And you then said consciousness drives the universe. So is the universe as indifferent as we think it is? I think the universe is
in a whole.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
But my point being is that the point I want to bring in here is the universe indifferent? Yes and no. Because it's a very massive thing. There are good things and bad things that are happening at the same time. If you just focus on one, you're not seeing the entirety of existence, and it can bum you out. But remember, every day that you're having this a struggle, just remember there's a lot of good things that are happening at that very moment. And it might.
But that's the indifference. Indifference means good or bad. Doesn't care.
Well, right. But my point is that there are parts of the universe that don't care. There are parts of the universe that care deeply. And there are parts of the universe that care in the opposite direction. I've seen Star Trek. I know about the Borg. But
but by definition of indifference,
I know,
means the universe is incapable of caring one way or another. However, when you take the entirety of everything, that when I'm talking about the universe, let's talk about the cosmos.
Right.
Let's, you know, so we're not confusing. Okay. The cosmos is indifferent. Doesn't care. It's incapable of caring whether it brings about a planet with life or whether it just brings a planet like Venus, you know, where it's 900 degrees. Okay. So when you look at the entirety of it all, the universe, including consciousness, yes, there's good and good and bad.
I knew what you meant. I also know that it's really what we're getting at is that there's no God pulling all the strings, right? Not in the way that I think we can all kind of agree that the old dogmas are just not, they're too disjointed, not enough logic. They're too contradictory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But no, I know what you meant. I just was trying to interject a little bit of optimism in too, but I also don't want to. I know we're getting into our card time too, so
yep. I'm gonna say thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. I appreciate you and appreciate you supporting this program and ICMH and schools, and you know, keep up the good work. Be a positive influence on those within your sphere of influence, and I hope you all have a great night.
Well, I don't suppose we'll see you to the beginning of January, so I want to wish you happy holiday season and happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Mickey, use well. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Wow, Michael, that was a good discussion.
It was. It was excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, but, for those who know, we're going to be picking cards in a minute. And those who don't know, Michael picks an Inner Oracle self-discovery card, and I do a backup tarot. So, you know, again, maybe this is a good time to inject that we are going to take off Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. We'll be here for the next couple of weeks. I think next week we're going to talk about metaphysics and sound, aren't we?
Yep. The metaphysics of sound. You know, there's so many different avenues to get into that. So we're going to be talking music. We're going to be talking frequencies. We're going to be talking harmonics. It's going to be a good. It's going to be a good discussion. Hopefully enlightening as well. But yeah, we do have a couple of weeks where we're going to be with you, and it just happens to be one of those years where those days just happen to fall on days where, you know, most folks, you know, are going to be doing other things or what have you. So, but we're going to be back in the new year here after that. And I think I'd like to at some point, I'm not going to put our card keeper on the spot, but I'd love to do a retrospective of 2025 in terms of patterns, in terms of cards and things too. So maybe we can sneak that in there. So we'll find out. But I know we do have some cards coming up already. And
well, if Wendy can't join us in 2 weeks, because I'll make sure I have a few minutes to look over what kind of patterns I can see in the tarot. If we can have Wendy on in a couple of weeks. If not, then the second Wednesday of January.
Yeah.
Oh, she just wrote, "I'm ready when y'all are."
Yeah. Well,
all right, Wendy.
Wouldn't it be the first Wednesday in January, the 7th? If not, I say if not the 17th and the 7th. Ah, this is an offline discussion. This can be an email.
Well, no, because we'll have... Of course.
I wasn't thinking correctly. But
We booked it. It's booked. Two weeks from now, we'll have Wendy on.
And that is a binding obligation.
Yes, that's right.
All right,
Wendy, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. And not to delay much longer, I know we got some wonderful cards coming, and I believe our first is Dr. Howard. I don't think I missed anybody.
I do too.
Excellent. Yep. So, Dr. Howard, so happy to have you with us. And tonight, I pulled number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
And I got the Page of Diamonds, the Page of Pentacles in this one, Howard. You know, a page is always a communicator, and I'm going to go with this, an awareness of finances, communicating finances. Maybe it's looking at a budget. But I also am inclined to want to say to you, to stay awake to possibilities of increasing finances. And, you know, you never know. Opportunities come in the strangest ways sometimes. So just paying attention to matters of finances and increasing that. And there might be some changes coming up for you next year. And I see an increase. So keep an open mind. What I say.
I like it.
Okay, we have Donna.
Donna, for you, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
And when you get justice to back that up, it's also to look at fairness and equitability. So if you're in shared agreements or obligations, which we talked about tonight, looking at the fairness and the balance of value for value, that could just be energy as well, and how that fulfills, you know, gives you a sense of meaning. and purposefulness, Donna. So I would say there's a reevaluation here, if not occurring now, then in the very near future, about just the equitability of what is the output versus the input. So, you know, that's something really simple, Michael. If I've called somebody three times and they haven't called me, I don't call, you know, because it has to be some kind of reciprocal
right.
energy in
yeah.
that investment, even something as simple as that.
Oh,
but I think
understand.
Donna is looking at it a little deeper than mm-hmm. just that. Kevin.
All right.
What do you got for Kevin?
Kevin, tonight I have for you number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Ooh, you got the Eight of Diamonds on that one, Kevin. So that Eight of Pentacles, Eight of Diamonds, evolution is kind of an apprenticeship of sorts, you know, where you're learning as you go. And Wendy just said you had that card back in March. So I think you're doing another little ride on the evolutionary scale. No pun. This is I think a lot of things are behind you, and this is an upswing of everything that you have been learning and will continue to learn that you'll put into life where you're going to see the results, the benefits of that. And I'm going to say also, I think it might even be somewhat financial. So that's a good one. I think we have Jackie next, Michael.
All right, Jackie, I have for you number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is also a belief, and that means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and, as always, proceed with conviction.
Interesting. This is the Nine of Diamonds. So that Nine of Pentacles has everything to do with the home, the immediate environment, your sanctuary of sorts, your garden of life. Power of belief. I would say that you might be questioning how you're living, where you're living, the environment. You might be wanting to make some changes there, Jackie. Is it resonating with you? Look, it might be as simple as, I don't know, rearranging furniture, but it could be as drastic as saying, I don't want to live here anymore. And making some adjustments. And it's really that your inside belief system, the outside belief systems might need some reconciling. And then you're going to recreate or manifest an environment that really works for you. I don't know when your birthday is, but I want to guess a summer baby, like something you need bright, airy things around you, like bright colors and shifting things around. So I hope that makes sense. I really stepped out on a limb on that one, Michael. But we have Dr. Jeff. Oh, by the way, Jeff's put up some pretty cool videos lately. I have to put a plug in. Blind Outdoorsman, you guys. It's really good.
I second that. I follow him as well. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Dr. Jeff, for you tonight, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Hope that resonates.
Well, open-mindedness with the Jack of Spades, the Jack of Swords, is an assertiveness. Doesn't mean aggression, just means assertiveness, a confidence. So greater self-certainty, you know, you're gaining a greater comfort with how you move forward. So I think you've been, I'm going to just play it, say it as simple as I can, is just building that confidence in yourself, Jeff. And as you keep moving forward, stay open-minded. I don't know. I just want to say assertive, be more assertive. I think you do a great job anyway, but, I guess it's just, you know, once you've done it 10, 15, 20 times, you'll relax and get new ideas and new ways of moving forward. So, I think that's a really good affirmation for you. Support. Okay. Right. Wendy.
Wendy, the card keeper herself. Tonight, I have for you number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth or in something or in a direction.
Well, I pulled the Jack of Hearts, Jack of Cups. I said, truth, Jack of Cups. Now, the Jack can be male or female. Just remember in a deck of cards, there's Jacks to Kings, but no princesses to the Queens, people. So the Jack can be either. So I pulled the second card and I got the Empress, Wendy. I think I want to say is, you know, every step that we take is a learning, and there's a truthfulness in it that teaches us how we want to move to the next thing or the next thing or the next one. And that might be repeating something, carrying on with something, because it's the Empress has everything to do with growing, planting seeds and growing your garden of life, so to speak. I think this is really positive, and you might have recently been recognizing a few more things about yourself, finding your strengths, working on your strengths, and living more from the heart and what really gives you passion, because that's where you're going to grow your garden. And I think you already are, but I mean, it's just going to start to get bigger. So, I think that's a really good message, in my view. So, thanks for that. The feedback, everybody. Jackie said she's cleaning her house and her environment. She's getting things organized. Jeff said, thanks so much. I'm just trying to be me. Not going to lie, I still don't like throwing myself out there all that much. I'm talking in front of camera, but I still trying to have fun with it. You are having fun. You know, Jeff, no, I don't think anybody at first likes to be in front of a camera or, you know, and Jeff is having to learn a lot of things where Shauna can't help him in the filming and some of the editing. Jeff has had to learn some new software because, you know, he continues to lose sight. He doesn't have much sight left. And so he's learning, you know. And I think you're doing a great job, Jeff. And you are such an inspiration to other people, not just people like yourself who are in your situation, but to all sighted people who think they have a problem. Because I'll tell you, you set such a good example. Jeff is, he's doing videos of himself cooking, making kombucha with, I don't like the stuff myself, but, you know, taking the dog out. he's amazing at all the stuff he does. But again, I think just, taking a breath, Jeff, and saying, you know what? I don't care about being on camera anymore. I can't see myself anyway. So there you go. You know where I'm coming from, Jeff. We're good friends. So.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, he said he's having fun with it, and that's all we can do in this life. You know,
yeah.
we're going to do some good for others, but we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to have some fun with things. We're going to have a good time on the ride. Not always, but enough
for sure
that we're really going to, you know, appreciate what we got when we got. So,
well,
again, I was just going to say, I was just going to start wrapping up and, you know, we can thank everybody for being here, but I don't want to cut you off if you have some points.
No. Don't let them push you around out there, folks. You know, just be yourself. Don't let people contaminate you.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath. You're not in a hurry to go anywhere, especially now it's shopping time, you know. Jeez, all the shopping
people.
Oh,
I'm telling you. Talk about obligations and maintaining healthy obligations right there.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I'm glad, you know, again, tomorrow's a full moon. You know, light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Project out there in the universe, and we're saying soon to say goodbye to 2025.
It has
it's been a ride.
It's been a ride. Yeah, it's been a ride. But we got to the other side, and we're going to keep on doing. You know.
Yeah.
So
we'll see everybody next week for sure.
Absolutely, looking forward to that discussion. And like Dr. Ricky said, don't let them push you around. Can't wait to talk about sound, about music, about all these interesting things. I can't wait to see you guys again. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.